Bullies. Okay, bullies make you angry. Bad drivers make you angry. What else? Or who else? Siblings make you angry. Okay. I would ask how, but maybe we don't want to know. There are lots of things that make us angry. There are people who make us angry. There are situations that make us angry. And sometimes we just get so angry and it builds up inside of us. Maybe we just lash out every time we're angry. Or maybe we try to control ourselves because we know the importance of self-control. We try to live out this peace that God has called us to. And so it just builds up inside of us and at some point explodes. Anger. I know anger. And there were times in my childhood that my siblings made me angry. Injustice makes me angry. Other people, other situations can make me angry. Just a few days ago, I was driving with my 5-year-old son in the back seat, and another driver did something. I think the car cut in front of us, and I honked my horn. After the lane change, so it was not preventative. It was not warning. You should stay in your lane to avoid a dangerous situation. No, it was, how dare you cut in front of me? That was the honk. And my son asked me why I honked. And I thought, oh, I'm supposed to be an example here. I shouldn't have done that, and now what do I say? And so I said, you can tell me later how borderline this is. But I said, sometimes a honk can help people realize that they're driving in a way they shouldn't be driving. I can rationalize things. Anger gets to us. Maybe it's somebody talking on a phone in a changing room, right, Barry? Anger gets to us. And it's not just me. You know, Charles told us that bad drivers make him angry. And apparently I can make other drivers angry. I don't understand how that possibly could happen. I mean, ask my wife. Surely she would tell you that I'm a perfect driver. Maybe not. But a few days ago, I was driving in a parking lot, and I was being very careful. I wasn't in a hurry. I wanted to make sure everybody was safe. It was kind of a congested parking lot, so I was carefully driving. Well, there was another driver who was in a hurry. And he came this way, I came this way. And based on the layout of the parking lot, it seems like I had the right of way, and he was to yield. But apparently he understood the situation differently and got very upset about it, got very angry, honked his horn, yelled at me, stuck out both hands, and gave me a greeting that I will not do right now. According to the Beverly Hillbillies, it's a California howdy, but this was a double one. And I thought, how interesting. If he does that just for a situation like this, what will he do in a situation that is, you know, really bad? What if we had gotten into a wreck? You know, what if I had given him a bad look? That didn't even happen. So it made me a little scared of what might happen in another situation. Anger is a human problem. Not just for me, not just for you. And there are a lot more stories that we could talk about, stories that are even more severe. Like school shootings. Mass shootings, mass evil out of anger and hate. And we mourn, perhaps we cry out to God and maybe even ask why. And if we don't, we know that many do right now. Anger hurts other people. It makes us do bad things that hurt other people. You know, anger hurts ourselves too. Notice what Ecclesiastes 7:9 says. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. That's from the English Standard Version. And I like the way the Message puts it. Don't be quick to fly off the handle. Anger boomerangs. You can spot a fool by the lumps on his head. So, when I'm angry, if I do something bad that hurts other people, it's likely to come back around and hurt me too. It makes me less of a person. It makes it more difficult for me to be open to what God wants to do in my life. It can destroy relationships, destroy jobs, careers, all kinds of problems can come from our reactions that are done in anger. So anger can hurt other people. It also can hurt ourselves, and it can hurt the church. And that's why 1 Corinthians 13 mentions anger. Anger is a disease not only now, but it was a disease then as well, a disease that hurt people and hurt the community of faith. It was a problem in first century Corinth. So we find it here in 1 Corinthians 13 in this context where Paul is writing to a church of people who are prideful and self-centered, and they think they're better than each other. They're valuing self over other, and that leads them to mistreat each other and not think considerately of each other, not try to provide for each other's needs, but it's just me. And I'm reminded of that scene in Finding Nemo, the movie that I've watched so many times in the past 5 years. I think I might have seen it once before Caleb was born. Now I've seen it more times than I can count. And there's that scene with the birds saying, mine. And I look at our culture and I see mine. Me. And if we're not careful as humans, it's how we tend to live. It's how I tend to live. Even if we don't realize it. It takes effort to be other-centered. And if we're not consciously thinking about being other-focused, then we probably are not being other-focused. So that was the context in first century Corinth. And this anger that they experienced, apparently they experienced anger, or Paul would have no reason to mention it and warn them against it. This anger arose from selfishness. It was a self-centeredness that led to so many other bad things, like impatience, disrespect, unkindness, and envy. We see all those things mentioned or hinted at least in 1 Corinthians 13. And the self-focus led to anger. This ancient disease of anger was destroying the church, or at least threatening to destroy it. Threatening to destroy the church, the people of God, the followers of Jesus. the community of love and peace was falling apart because of anger. And the Bible gives a response to that disease of anger. To discover that response, let's look at this section of text that we have read together multiple times in this series. It's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through the first part of verse 8. Let's read it together. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. The response was love. It was this love that is a healing force in individuals and a healing force in the community of faith. And it's like Paul is the spiritual doctor writing to a sick church saying, you're messed up because of this anger. And love is the response. What you need is love. It's what the world needs now, right? So, we have this problem, this disease of anger, and we see it in the early church, and there's a response in the early church. There's a response to that anger, and that response is love, and that's the biblical response today, too. Love is still a healing force in the lives of individuals and communities. Anger hurts people, and anger hurts groups, but love heals people and groups. Anger hurts, love heals. And the world needs the people of God to live out the love of God. It's not just a belief, not just an attitude, not just a feeling or a thought. But it's an active commitment. It's something we do. It's how we treat people. It's this other-centered way of living. And people of the world need us to live that kind of love. In a world of road rage, we need to be people of love. In a world of destructive conflict and brutal violence, we need to be people of love. Because you see, the last words of our reading, love never fails. Anger is fleeting. Anger will be defeated. Love never fails. Love is victorious. So we need to love. We need to be people of love. Love is the response to the disease of sin, of anger, which can lead to sin. Now, that's easy to say. Might even be easy to believe, easy to accept, easy to hear. But real life might cause us to doubt that, right? Our real life experience might lead us to question that assertion that love is the response to this problem of anger. Does love really work? Does love really heal? Can it really mend the brokenness of our lives, the brokenness of our relationships, the brokenness of our world? I hope you hear me carefully now, because let me clarify that I'm not saying that life will be perfect if we choose love. I'm not saying that life will be perfect if we choose love over anger. Because the disease of anger has plagued humanity for millennia. Throughout all of human history, from the murder of Abel in Genesis all the way to mass shootings today, anger has plagued humanity. The problem is deep and long and wide. And there is no cure for anger. But no cure is needed. We don't need a cure for anger because, you see, anger is okay. In Mark 11, we see Jesus getting angry and throwing over furniture at the temple out of anger. Holy anger. Righteous anger because of, apparently, of how the temple had been mistreating people. If you read the story in context, Jesus was angry. So if anger is this eternally forbidden sin of some kind, why would Jesus be angry? So anger is okay. The problem is when we sin in that anger. That's what we find in Ephesians 4, verse 26. Right? We're not supposed to sin when we're angry. Don't let our anger lead us to sin. It makes sense for us to be angry. It makes sense for us to be angry about injustice, right? It makes sense for us to be angry about mass shootings, especially at schools. What's wrong with our world? If we're not angry sometimes, then something's probably wrong with us. Maybe we're not paying attention to the world we live in. And if we're not paying attention, how can we be God's ambassadors of love and peace and justice? So it makes sense for us to be angry sometimes, but we have to be careful not to let that anger lead us to sin. If we have anger, it needs to help people in some way instead of hurting people. The problem is when we let self-focus control us in our anger. Now, although there isn't a cure and doesn't need to be a cure for anger, there is a response, and the response is love, and there's a prescription. The prescription is a holy halt. And this holy halt is a pause. It's a pause before responding to other people. My mama taught me, I'm reminded of Forrest Gump, my mama taught me to think before I speak. She told me to think before I act, and I've never been real perfect at that, but when I remember to pause, life is better. When I practice the holy halt and invite the Holy Spirit to guide my response, what I say and do is more likely to help instead of hurt. So just pause. Have a holy halt. And that arises from a relationship with God and a spirit of love. Without connection with God and without living in that love, I'm probably not going to pause. And even if I do, I won't be connected to God who wants to work in me in that moment of pause to prepare me to respond in a gracious, helpful way. So this holy halt, we need it. That's the prescription when anger threatens to destroy our lives as individuals, our lives as communities. When sin arises from anger in this selfish kind of way and messes up our world, we need to pause. Invite God to work on our hearts and respond in a spirit-filled way that reflects the nature of Christ. God is changing the world through love. God has been doing that for a long time. He's changing the world. And that's why He sent Jesus, right? Change the world through love. And we get to participate in that. That's what Christians are called to do, to be part of this mission of love, God's work of healing this broken world, broken relationships, broken situations, broken communities, broken societies. We get to participate in that. Now, anger can threaten that, especially when we sin out of that anger. But love is the way. Love is the response. As Lytle reminded us, God is love. And it's why Jesus came. Because God is love, and because God so loved the world, and Jesus showed us love. And one little part of the life of love that we can practice starting right now is this holy halt. When we start to feel anger coming on, when we start to feel selfishness threaten us, we just pause, halt, stop. Listen for God. Then love. Respond with peace, grace, mercy. And through those little pauses, God is changing the world. In this next song, if you want to pray or just talk and be listened to, a couple of us will be right over here, and you're welcome to come join us.